hope you stayed tuned to Organic Matters. This is unusual for me, but of those of you following this week's show, I just had enough of one subject that I wanted to continue through with it. I just couldn't condense it into about 12 or 13 minutes. And of course, that's climate change, the greenhouse effect, what's going on in our world. So let's continue from here, and I hope you followed through, and maybe again, it'll change one person's mind. You never know. Let's start here talking about the greenhouse effect, which everybody's at least heard the words. In the late 1800s, there was a Swedish chemist called Svante Arrhenius, who will not do that name again, studied the connection between the amount of atmospheric carbon and its ability to warm and cool our Earth. And while his initial calculations suggested extreme warming as carbon increased, researchers didn't start to take what we call human-induced climate change seriously until really much later into the 20th century. However, proof of human-led climate change can be tracked back to at least the 1850s, and satellites, as soon as we put them up, are among the ways that scientists have now been tracking increased greenhouse gases and their climate impact, especially in the more recent years as science has progressed. Climate researchers have also documented warmer oceans, an increase in ocean acidification, huge shrinking ice sheets, decreased snow amounts all around the world, and extreme weather as among the events resulting from these greenhouse gases as they are heating the very only planet, folks, we live on. And of course, we've begun to realize that numerous factors actually contribute to the production of what we now call greenhouse gases, which creates, in the common terms, what we call greenhouse effect. One of the biggest causes involves burning fossil fuels, and I think almost everybody on the planet realizes that right now. And in case you don't realize, that includes coal, oil, and petroleum products, including natural gas. It is cleaner, but not by much, to power everything from our cars to our daily energy needs, and that I mean electricity and heat. From 1970 to 2011, which is pretty far back now, but it's the closest thing I could find, fossil fuels comprise of 78% of total greenhouse gases that we are able to track. Next in line, unfortunately, but a total necessity, is big agriculture. It is another greenhouse contributor, particularly, hate to say this, red meat, such as beef production, with the industry adding about 10% per year, and this since they've been tracking it back into the 20s up to 2019. This is attributed to clearing land for crops and grazing and growing feed, along with methane produced by cattle and other ruminants themselves. In the United States alone, again, I can only find facts up to 2019. We haven't caught up yet. Americans consumed 27.3 billion pounds, just the United States, 27.3 billion pounds of beef. Think about that. In the year 2019. And then we have to talk about the rampant deforestation occurring everywhere from the Amazon basin to Borneo. And a newest study I could find again was in 2021 from the Rainforest Foundation. It was found that 2/3 of the world's rainforests have already been destroyed or degraded. In Brazil, deforestation reached a 12-year high back in 2020. Under a new president, his name is Bolsonaro. He's whack, incidentally. As it stands, he looks at short-term gains, nothing to do with long-term problems. The reports predict that the Amazon forest will collapse by the year 2060 if we continue at the rate we are, I want to use the word, they're saying stripping it, I'm saying raping it. Rainforests are important carbon sinks, meaning the trees capture and remove carbon at a rate faster than they put it out. In other words, they're a net carbon sink. Unfortunately, as the rainforests collapse, the remaining trees will begin emitting more greenhouse gases than they are able to absorb. And here I have to at least mention a pet peeve of mine. And again, a 2020 study, it was revealed that abandoned oil and gas wells are leaking more methane, actually way more methane, than we believed, with U.S. wells contributing 20% of all annual methane emissions. I was living in a home for a while in Fort Davis, Texas, and there were people that had to move out of the town because the gases emitted from the fracking and the way they were doing the wells that were not being controlled was so bad that it was affecting the health of a number of my neighbors, some of which, again, had to move away from the area. That's scary. And I got to throw this in because I'll bet a good number of you don't even realize. Because not least in this system is the actual production of cement. Concrete, folks, the things we build with. Cement is heavily used throughout the entire global construction industry and accounts for about 8 to 10% of all the carbon dioxide emissions. Now, you might ask, that's why? Well, find out that I think cement or concrete, I always use the wrong words, it's got to go up to like 1,200 or 1,400 degrees during the production, and then after that, it's all still emitting. It is a much bigger problem than any of us realized just 2 decades ago. And I have to bring up here something that people always say that's just like a comeback when they think, well, you know, it's all natural. Truly, it's granted. Natural climate change exists as well and always has and can be traced throughout history from solar radiation triggering the ice ages to the asteroids that struck at some point and rapidly raised global temperatures for a relatively small time, although by our standards, maybe thousands of years is not a small time. It eliminated the dinosaurs and many, many other species. Other sources of natural climate change impacts, of course, they may make a big deal of this. Volcano eruptions, ocean currents, and even orbital changes. But in the big picture, this is where they think they've got an answer. They don't. These sources have a much smaller and shorter term environmental impact than we even think. Even the greatest volcanoes like Krakatoa dusted the earth for a few years, but didn't do a tiny percentage of the damage we're doing on a daily basis with the amount of gases and the amount of input we're now forcing our climate, our environment to have to handle. So I don't think I'm a total nut. I guess I am in some ways. The latest studies and numbers can often be discouraging. I got to admit that about. But we have the ability to prevent the worst case climate scenarios from happening. There is still time if we take action. Should have happened 30 years ago once we began to study it. It hasn't, but sooner the better for sure. Let's go back to 2015. That year, 197 countries came together to sign what we named then the Paris Agreement. That at that moment was an international climate change treaty agreeing to limit climate warming in that century to 2 degrees Celsius compared to pre-industrial levels. It's believed that the planet has warmed at least 1 degree Celsius since 1750 anyway, just because of the increased industry we're already putting into the system. Studies show that staying within the 2 degree range will prevent at least the worst case climate scenarios from happening. Achieving this goal requires participating parties to drastically slash greenhouse gas emissions, of course, sooner rather than later. However, there have already been numerous setbacks since then. From former U.S. President Donald Trump withdrawing from the Paris Agreement in 2020 to world leaders such as China, the world's biggest polluter now, we were for years, they are now, failed to enact aggressive climate action plans as promised. Yet many of the treaty participants have been slow to implement any more changes, putting the world on track to hit about a 3.2 degree Celsius increase by the end of this century, if we don't really slow it down, and it appears the initial goals that we set back in 2015 are met. However, it's worth noting that the current president Joe Biden, did rejoin the Paris Agreement just in 2021 and pledged to cut greenhouse gases in half by the year 2030. And with some setbacks, we are so far heading that direction. Let's go on to what we can do. I could hit this stuff forever. Because while it's up to the corporations to do the heavy lifting for carbon reduction, it doesn't mean we as individuals can't make a difference. Believe it or not, adopting a more vegetable lifestyle, and I'm trying to do this, hard for me because I happen to love my red meats, using public transportation, switching to electric car, and in my case, two electric bicycles, and just becoming a more conscientious consumer are all ways that each of us can help combat climate change. Every little bit counts. Consuming meat, for instance, relies on clearing tons of lands for crops and the animals, while raising and killing the livestock altogether contributes to about 15% of the global greenhouse gas emissions across the world. By comparison, choosing a more plant-based diet can reduce greenhouse gas footprints by as much as 60 or 70%, especially when choosing, when you can, local produce and products that come from near you. Because part of the cost, folks, is the transportation, not just the growing. Graham wants you to consider that gas-powered vehicles worldwide contribute about 90 to 95% of transportation-related greenhouse gas emissions. So what do I go to? I recommend electric vehicles. They're going to get real cheap. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Electric cars and trucks have come down in price rapidly, and now there's just been a law that if it comes enacted in the next few weeks, we'll hand you a big chunk of change if you buy one. Okay, I won't give you all the details. It takes too much time. Hybrid cars are another good alternative for lowering individual emission contributions until we can get to all electric back again, because I'm such a nut over, including my electric bicycles. Healthy for me, healthy for you, and really fun to get around on. For those of you listening, do take a consideration into even talking to officials that can help you in your local area politically. It's taken centuries to reach a climate tipping point, with just a matter of decades left over to prevent what we think is going to be the worst case climate scenarios that could happen. But there's still hope for controlling a warming climate as long as we as individuals, the companies, and the nations will make an immediate, concerted effort to lower greenhouse gas emissions. As the world already experienced with the COVID-19 pandemic we've been through and are still going through, a rapid, unified response can really make all the difference. Please think about all this stuff, folks. Take one little step on your own. Tell your neighbors and your friends and your relatives. One little step now can make the world a better place for our kids and their kids from now on. But we've got to act now. Thanks for staying tuned to Organic.